Thou shalt not covet. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Envy is a capital vice. And it's a capital vice because it causes many other vices. Envy is a sorrow at another one's good. And it sees the other's good as one's own harm. And in this it differs from jealousy. Jealousy, for instance, when you hear the phrase the jealous husband, jealousy is when you possess something yourself, but you don't want someone else to possess it. Envy sees another person's good as a diminution or a lessening of one's own good or glory. And glory, St. Thomas says, is the notoriety or something that we get or a manifestation of some excellence, some good thing that we have or someone else has. Through envy, one desires the good which is possessed by someone else. And it is for this reason that our Lord said, "Thou shalt not covet." Because if a person covets, then he will suffer envy and also a number of other vices. These vices which arise from a capital vice are called daughters. And the reason they're called the daughters of a vice is because in Latin, the vices are feminine in declension. And so as a result, they call them the daughters of envy, for example, or the daughters of lust, or things of this sort. And they're vices which arise when somebody suffers from envy. These daughters, I think we should reflect upon because it tells us something about human psychology and about ourselves. And we can look at these things, these daughters, to see if we are suffering from envy. There are several daughters of envy. And one of them is when one seeks to lessen another's glory. That is, you seek to take away from someone else's excellence or manifestation of someone's excellence. St. Thomas says, if it's done occultly, that is, secretly, behind closed doors, and you tell like one or two people, it's called the vice of murmuring, in which you go around saying bad things about somebody in order to take away from their reputation. If it's more manifest, it's called detraction. That is, you say something in order to take away from their glory. The person who suffers from this kind of vice seeks to find fault with the other person to make themselves feel better because they do not possess the good that they see in the other individual. Then there is also what St. Thomas calls the promotion of one's adversaries. That is, one works against the person that one envies. You want to make sure that they don't get anything more than they already have, which very often when people envy, they don't think that the other one is deserving of it. Envy drives one to be friends with those whom one normally would not be friends with because of the hatred of the other person. And this brings up the next daughter, which is hatred in the sense that one hates the person that one envies. And you also hate those who keep you from obtaining the thing that you want. Joy is also a vice when one takes joy in another one's misfortune. So the person who envies another person, when that person that they envy suffers some evil, they take joy in it, which is obviously directly contrary to charity. Envy also seeks to prevent one's neighbor from prospering because you don't want him to have anything that's good, whether you have it yourself or not. In the end, the daughters of envy culminate in the worst daughter of envy, which is hatred of God's providence. And this applies not only to mundane goods. For example, when we see the guy next door has a Lexus and we were driving around in a Volkswagen, we would prefer to have his Lexus. And so that pertains to mundane goods. Or for instance, when people envy because someone else has won the lottery, even though they've bought several tickets and lost. But we also see it in the context of spiritual goods. For example, when it's clear that one particular individual is graced by God and has more virtue, or they were given particular graces to manifest God's glory in some way, and so we envy against those spiritual goods. So sometimes you'll see this in a kind of a family rivalry, in the sense that if one family is more virtuous than another, the people in the other family that aren't so virtuous will go around detracting or saying bad things about the other family. Envy tends to take all sorts of strange forms. For example, I have seen on occasion married men whose marriages don't work out very well end up envying priests who are celibate. Or they envy the priest because they have some good thing that they would like to have themselves. But this also goes both ways. Given the current scandals and the lack of virtue among the clergy, you even see priests envying married men because of the wives they may have or things of this sort. Sometimes women will envy other married women because of the spouse that they might have or spouses that they might have. And this very often causes them to go around causing no end of trouble. And this is particularly the case among married women who don't particularly like the spouse they have. They happen to see the surface goodness of another one's spouse, and so they envy them. And if the envy becomes strong enough, then they go around causing trouble for the family that's, particularly for the woman who has this other spouse. Envy is a capital vice because it leads to many sins. And therefore, we must work very hard in order to avoid this envy. Because in the end, it is a hatred, as I mentioned, of God's providence. And therefore, there are a few things that we can work on. The first is an abandonment to God's providence. God's providence is such that we are only given certain goods in life, then we must accept that. We all must accept the fact that God has chosen to simply give some people more goods than others. And this isn't because he hates one group of people and likes others. It's because of the fact that he has decided to manifest his various perfections in different ways through different people. And those who suffer from envy ultimately hate God's distribution of spiritual and temporal goods. The person must have a detachment. And by this, the person lets go of the goods that they might see outside of themselves and just be detached from all created goods and be attached to God alone. And if a person has perfect detachment, they will never envy. We must also have humility because, as I mentioned, God's providence distributes goods differently to different people. In humility, we must accept the degree of goods, both spiritual and mundane, that God has chosen for us. We must, and the humble person actually joys in the little good that they might have. What little, I mean, just the fact that they receive anything from God brings them joy. We must also develop a sense of God's justice, in that sometimes it is God punishes us by giving us lesser goods because of our own sin, although that's not always the case. God gives to us what we deserve. And if we recognize this, it will help us to recognize that God's providence is perfect. Therefore, do not militate against God's providence by committing sins because of your lack of abandonment to his providence. Rather, look at the person with perfect charity can look at the possessions of another person and see the glory in God and take delight in it alone. He doesn't have to delight in his own glory. He can delight in the glory of God as it is manifest in others. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.